This is episode number 2 of the Interactive Distractions podcast for the week of November 26th, 2007. It's time for me to rock. Coming up on today's show, we've got our distractions of the week, gaming news, our letter to Sony, a rock band segment, new releases, listener email, and the infamous question of the week.
Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions Episode 2. My name is Chris and I'm here with Jeff and Jason.
Hey, what up?
How you guys doing?
Really good.
Full.
Full?
Why that?
Full. You Americans would be happy. I celebrated the American Thanksgiving this weekend. Because, yeah, my girlfriend's dad's actually from New Jersey.
No way.
So, yeah.
He doesn't try to pose as a New Yorker, does he?
No, he doesn't at all. Not even.
Alright, cool.
Just he doesn't even pose as someone from New Jersey.
So, I got some interesting information that you guys might be interested in.
Okay, what you got?
We had some people listen to us last week.
What?
Whoa.
They You're actually lying. Suffered no through us.
Okay, more than your mom, Chris.
No, seriously. We had more than three listeners.
Oh,
it wasn't
God.
Just us listening, I promise.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay. Shot in the dark.
Here comes our 15 minutes, boys.
I'm sure it was just morbid curiosity, like to see how bad the show could really be.
Had to be.
Yep.
Had to be. I think they were just making sure that the title stood true, since we made the title say, hey, look, we suck.
We suck.
Yeah. Need confirmation.
So what's been up this week?
Week? Yeah. I haven't played a whole lot, actually. We got Rock Band. I mean,
well,
that's been consuming
need,
my
really.
Week. We also picked up a surprisingly good game, Wii's Crossbow, or Link's Crossbow Training. It was only $20. Couldn't pass it up. Got it for my son for Christmas, too. Callan, if you're listening, you didn't hear anything, okay? You don't know what you're getting for Christmas.
So you're not going to tell him about this podcast until after the New Year, is that right?
I don't want him hearing me cuss like a sailor either.
How old is he?
Oh, that's right. This is
you're gonna shit.
This podcast
this,
is rated T for teen.
How old is your son?
He is turning 14 on December 2nd.
Oh, he already knows you have it.
Yeah,
he already knows. He's been searching.
Probably.
He went underneath that bed like days ago.
All right. So aside from that, oh man, really not too much. I tried Virtua Fighter 5 online. I played it offline though. Still digging that. I don't know. Rock Band has been consuming my world, though. So that's been my week, pretty much.
I still hate you.
No, you don't. Hey, I have a question for you, Jason. You said you got it for $20. Where'd you get it?
Toys R Us, actually. We got the last two.
Really?
Yep.
Got
one for
it,
myself and
I saw
one
it,
for... Go ahead.
Gotcha. I saw it at EB today, and it was $25. But, yeah,
oh, really?
EB is... You know, they're weird about their prices. I don't know what the hell they
Yeah.
Are.
Yeah, they can be. It's weird sometimes. Sometimes you can get stuff, like at Toys R Us, a lot of stuff is more expensive. Like if you buy like Wii points or something, it's $2 or $3 more. But I don't know. EB just jacks everything up. Yes, I'm slamming
EB. It was BS. When I worked there, we'd have like these Boxing Day sales. And is Boxing Day big there?
Boxing Day? Yeah.
No.
I don't know what that is.
It's Canadian Christmas, pretty much.
It's basically the Canadian Black Friday, I guess. But it's the day after Christmas. Yeah, a bunch of deals and stuff like that. And we'd always have deals on really shitty games for like $9.99. And I remember the year I worked there.
Oh, that's awesome.
The game was... It was a Rayman Arena game.
Oh, shit, I saw
it was
that
on sale for... Oh, God, it's so garbage. But it was $9.99. And we had everybody coming in asking for that game just because it was $9.99. And we only had it in two copies. They were gone within the first 5 minutes we opened. And people were getting so upset. Not for the fact that, like, the game was crap. And we told people that when they came in asking for it, when it was sold out. We're like, you're not missing out. It's crap. And they just wanted this game because it was cheap. And ever since then, I've just been like, yeah, EB just never... They've never had really good deals. You have to go elsewhere. And we don't have fries or anything like that in Canada, so that kind of sucks.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Best Buy?
We do have Best Buy, yeah.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah.
Best Buy is like a smaller fries. With a
Fries is like a magical wonderland. I love
it. It is. It's really crazy.
Kind of like a Sam's Club or something like that? Or
It's like a Sam's Club for electronics. It's crazy.
Oh, awesome.
You can find anything.
like pepper spray for $5.
Electronics, exactly. Pepper spray. Exactly what I was thinking.
Well, someone's trying to steal your PS3 or Karen home. You got the pepper spray.
Exactly.
No, I actually picked some up. One of our friends, Serena, her little sister, McKenna, is going to Japan. She actually left on Thanksgiving, and as a going away present, I got her some pepper spray. I'm like, those perverts in Japan touch you, you mace them. You're going down.
And then I had a conversation with Jason. I said, I wish you would have told me that you were doing that. I would have chipped in. We could have got her a taser instead.
I know.
Anyway, that's enough off-topicness for today. Yeah.
So what were we talking about?
Your week, Jeff.
We were talking about Jason playing Rock Band a lot.
Oh, that's right.
We'll talk more about that later on, I think. Jeff, what are you playing?
Not too much. Completed another Planet on Ratchet & Clank. I'm still kind of chugging along in that game. Still really loving it, really liking it. What I like about it is exactly that reason. I'll not know what game to play. I'll sit down, play that for 20 minutes, and feel like I've, you know, gotten further in the storyline and progressed. So that was it on PS3. I want to go back to Assassin's Creed just for a quick couple minutes here. I still stand by basically exactly what I said last week. It does have a lot of shortcomings, and I wish it could have been a lot. They could have fleshed out a lot more things than they kind of just touched on. But something about that game is just kind of keeping me playing. I really, really enjoy it. I guess just as long as you're having fun playing it, it's got to be good, right?
Yeah.
And it's just what I found is just basically a couple things. The last mission, of course, and every little thing is the assassination. And that's what's been driving me to play, because every one is pretty cool. And they're relatively different than the ones before. You still kill the guys the same way, just different kind of setting. But what I started doing, which I wasn't doing before, was every time you do like an info quest or info mission, I didn't know if you went into your inventory, you hit start, you look up to this part, it says basically memory log. I always thought that was basically your save games to go back and replay different games or different save points, but it's not. It's basically you see... Yeah, you see the information that you just got doing that, and then you see kind of like maybe plans of where the guards are going to be, or the location of your kill, where he's going to be exiting from. So that's kind of cool. It kind of puts you more like immersed in the story and kind of gets you a little bit more interested if you're into that kind of thing. If you're not really going to do all that, I can see how people can kind of get bored pretty quick. But I will say that at this point, gamers like me, I have to recommend buying it to most people. But if you get sick of repetitive games and you have problems getting into really involved in the game and kind of taking in the atmosphere and what you're actually there to do, then I would just rent it. But still stand by what I said, but I'm actually having a lot more fun with it now that I'm kind of getting the most out of what it's offering. So
one big question that I wanted to ask was the AI. You were kind of knocking that a little bit the last show. Is it still as bad?
The AI is very up and down. I mean, the AI of the NPCs are okay. They kind of just walk around, they'll kind of like bump into you, and they kind of take notice when you like throw somebody off a building, they'll kind of gather around. But at the same time, for example, there's these guys that'll be kind of preaching here about the land and preaching about how they should take down this leader, or how they shouldn't listen to so-and-so. And I was like, you know, I'm just going to go up and assassinate this guy in front of everybody and see what happens. So it was a crowd of like 20 people listening to this guy preach. So I just, you know, snuck up behind him, knifed him in the back, and then slowly walked away, and everyone just turns around, starts walking and going about their own pace. There's no one screams, no one calls the guards or anything.
Well, the reason I ask is, I was at Fry's earlier today, and some poor guy came up to one of the associates, and he's like, yeah, I really want to get a game console for my kids this year. What should I get? And the guy starts to proceed to bash on the Wii, you know, if they're over 14, you don't like it. You should really get the PS3 because it's got, you know, two emotion engines in it. And there's this new game called Assassin's Creed that actually uses one entire chip dedicated to AI. And I'm like, I'm going to smack this guy. And
he's probably an ex-EB employee.
Oh yeah, we had to get up and leave. I was so upset. I'm just like, oh, this poor guy just wants to get something for his kids. And, oh.
Exactly.
He said the Wii was bad. Oh, that's... priceless.
He's like, if you have kids, over 14, the Wii is horrible for kids. They're gonna hate it. I'm like, dude,
are you serious?
Yeah, it was disappointing.
Everyone can enjoy the Wii. It's just for how long.
I want to have this dude at Fry's on the podcast sometime.
Yeah, seriously,
man. So we can thrash him.
No, that'd be fun. We're buddies.
But yeah, it's kind of up and down. It's, for the most part, it's not the greatest. It has its moments, but it's just inconsistent. Like I said, like, you can kill that guy, people just walk around, but if somebody knocks into you and they happen to drop this pot they're holding over their head. Then they yell for guards, and guards come and attack you. It's just kind of... And guys will not see you or hear you sneaking up on them unless they're looking at you. But yeah, you kind of forget about that and just realize you're having fun stabbing people in the neck.
And that's... Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. I'm perfectly willing to overlook a few flaws to... If the
overall pattern. You'll get over it. Like, I mean... I think I just... My expectations were just super, super high when I went into it, and... Once it is figured, okay, you know what, it's not trying to be this or this or this, it's just this, I accepted it, and now I'm actually having a lot of fun with it, and I'll probably have it beaten by next week, hopefully.
Alright.
Unless the next game I've been playing has been taking over my life, and that's Mass Effect.
Oh boy.
And awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. This game is just awesome. It's
Is it awesome, Jeff?
It's slightly above awesome. Whatever. It's really good. It's, of course, everyone's been talking about it ever since the 360 was announced, and I've been looking forward to it. Did either of you guys play KOTOR, Knights of the Old Republic?
I played the first one. I own the second one. I haven't played it. I feel very ashamed of myself for not playing it, but
I haven't played it either.
Same with me, actually.
Yeah, I played the first one. If you like KOTOR, you'll like this a lot, minus the Star Wars license, of course, but it's set up a lot, very similar. Basically, you make your character. You go into, you're in the galaxy, whatnot, on this planet. You got to go. The first mission is basically you have to rescue this team that's on this planet. I can't remember what the hell the planet's called. I know I should have wrote this down, but anyway, it's not important. But you do the first mission. You kind of get the grasp of how the battle is, the combat system. Which I'll start with the combat system is, it's great for what it's trying to do in an RPG genre. Of course, RPGs, the combat seems to be in most cases. What people don't really like about them, you either like it's either turn-based combat, which people either hate or love, or they try to do turn-based mixed with real time, which can be really good or be real shit depending on what the game is. But what it tries to do is tries to put third-person controls, third-person shooter-like aspects in it, which works very well in what it's trying to do. It's kind of like a very basic third-person shooter. But if you're trying to compare it to other third-person shooters like Gears of War, or like Uncharted, it doesn't feel as tight or as I guess is feature heavy, I guess, is those ones. It just doesn't feel as natural. And you don't have to play it that way. You can bring up this wheel when you want to use a certain power or tell your squad mates where to go or what powers they should use. It's kind of like I compare a lot to Final Fantasy XII, where it's real time, but if you want, you can kind of bring up the menu at any time, tell your characters what to do. Have you guys played XII, Final Fantasy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, basically, it's mostly real time. You can just kind of pause things real quick and then issue commands. And then
exactly.
Okay, cool.
I don't want to touch on it too much. I mean, if you're expecting a third-person shooter, the tight third-person shooter out of this, you're not going to get it. It does what it's supposed to do at a very basic level. You still feel it's kind of RPGs when you're shooting at guys. You're not exactly hitting them. You still feel when you're shooting, it's kind of rolling a dice behind the scenes and kind of letting you know if you're hitting them or not. But it's,
I don't care.
It's
just
more...
give me the lesbian sex scene. I'm good.
Exactly. not quite there yet. But
let me know, man.
That's the combat. It's good. Storyline is great. I don't want to go into the storyline too much because already within the first couple hours, there's a lot of spoilers that can be had there. Within the first couple hours, I made a huge decision, which basically came down to me choosing to wipe out an entire species from the galaxy or keep them alive. And it's the first time in a game where I actually sat there for a few minutes. I'm like, do I really want to do this? Should I save them? Should I? Yeah, it was pretty badass. I'm not sure what the effect is in the game later on because I'm just slightly after that part, actually. Graphics. This is where it's really hit and miss. Graphics, when you're inside areas, like safe areas, I call them. Say you're inside your ship or inside like the main areas on the planet where there's basically no enemies, the graphics are amazing. When you're talking to people, the facial detail and the way the characters animate, it's like watching a movie or interacting with a movie. And when you have these conversations in KOTOR, you'd listen to like what a character had to say. You'd have like five options or sometimes three. It basically was the good option, the neutral option, the bad option to go evil or good, light side, dark side. Yeah. And this you have usually more than three, but it doesn't tell you exactly what your character will say. It'll give you kind of a brief what the character's more of their emotion or what you'd be thinking. Like, it would just say, like, say, you walk up to character and say, you can say, what's up, see you later, or what's wrong with you? And the character doesn't actually say that. If you say, like, what's up, your character will walk up and be like, hey, how are things going? What do you think of this? It's kind of like the way the character's feeling and where it's going to kind of lead them to say next. It's really, really cool and very intuitive. It kind of feels like you're actually really paying attention to the conversation. And it just kind of makes talking to characters a lot more fun. This is where graphics are kind of not so good, is again in the combat mostly. If any of you guys play KOTOR, a lot of BioWare games have the same problems. There's frame rate issues.
Yeah.
There's some clipping problems. Some screen tearing, of course. But yeah, frame rate's probably the biggest one. Where if there's any more than say about 7 characters on screen or 4, and there's a lot of fire, gunfire, and magic spells being cast, or if they're called biotics. It kind of chugs along. I mean, it drops quite a bit. It never really stays constant, but it's not so much that it makes the game not fun. It keeps everything kind of in check. You're still having fun with the game, and it's really good.
So percentage-wise, how much of the combat is prevalent in the game? I mean, how much time are you actually spending in combat?
I'm probably about 5 hours in, maybe 6. Mm-hmm. And I'd say right now, I like to do... At first in the game, I wasn't really talking to everybody, but now I'm kind of talking to anyone I can and branching out the dialogue tree as much as possible. But I'd say it's probably somewhere around 60-40. 60 okay. Conversation, 40, combat.
Wow, really?
It's a good mix, because, I mean, you really control what you want to do, because you don't have to go on these side missions that the characters propose to you. Like, you can just decide not to do them. If you want to do them, go ahead. Some of them have... A lot of them actually consist of some kind of combat or whatnot. But, I mean, it's really up to you. And how you... Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was going to say, depending on how you approach the combat, too, like, you can really just run by a lot of them if you really want to. You'll probably die. That's another thing is, I got my ass kicked the first few times I played this game. When I tried to go into, like, combat, I just didn't know. I tried to play it like a third-person shooter, and I just kept getting my ass kicked and didn't know what was going on. So, then I started using the menu wheels and stuff, and which is probably the way you should go, because I think that's the way BioWare meant it to be, is kind of take advantage of everyone in your party and their powers, and you'll do a lot better. But so far I'm loving it. It's probably one of the best 360 games. Like, there's a lot of visual problems with it, but when you just kind of sit down and look at the whole picture, it's amazing. It blows my mind. It's almost like watching and playing a movie, and it's if you're a science fiction fan, if you're an RPG fan, if you're a third-person shooter fan, if you're solely a shooter fan, I couldn't really recommend it, because most people like that don't want to listen to a bunch of dialogue for half an hour or whatnot. Because some of these conversations are long. If you want them to be, like, you can go on and talk to the same guy for 20 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, it's only a couple times I've actually done that. I'm like, holy crap, this guy's a lot to say. But again, it's the user's fault. Like, they can't complain, like, oh, I was talking to this guy for 20 minutes, and I just wanted to shoot some people. Well, then just don't talk to the guy.
but I've heard from people that the conversation of the game is actually what makes it so interesting. And this is like, you actually want to go up and talk to everyone. And it's hard for me to think about, because when I play RPGs, I walk up and I talk to someone, and they say something completely random, and I'm like, what is your point? Why are you here? You're just wasting my time. Yeah. And Mass Effect, I'm hearing, doesn't have that.
No, it doesn't have that at all. Everyone has a purpose. Everyone has something important to say, and you learn something. And you're developing. There's really good character development. There's one character you meet kind of early on, and he sounds very kind of cynical and down on himself and even his own race. There's a lot of play on, like, racism and a lot of things in this game. It touches on a lot of, like, kind of touchy subjects, whatnot, and you can kind of play them on how you want. And this character first kind of like, hey, this guy's just kind of feeling sorry for himself, whatever. But the more you talk to him between missions and between planets, you get to kind of feel for the guy, where he's coming from, and you kind of relate more to him. And you're learning stuff from every single character at any time you want to. You're kind of building these relationships in the game, which kind of makes you feel attached to them. It's like every character you talk to. And every time you talk to them, it's not like KOTOR where there's kind of not a static screen, there's kind of, you know, standing there, kind of rocking back and forth, moving a hand here and there. Every time they see someone, it's all animated. They're moving their hands. They're kind of...
Very cool.
It's really... You guys, definitely rent it. Jason, I don't know if you like RPGs, but it's...
I do. I love RPGs. I actually think I'm going to buy this one without renting it first.
Oh, you'll love it. It's like, I wish I played a little bit more before getting on here, but so far, besides a little bit of visual hitches here and there, I can't say enough about it. I don't want to talk about it too much, like, again, until you guys play it some more, because there's a lot of stuff I want to talk about, and I'm sure the listeners, like, want to hear, if all four of you. And I just don't want to say that in just case. Yeah, exactly. She hated the first episode. My mom was not listening to this one. So,
I do have a question for you. You were talking about a bit about the fact that you got your ass kicked the first couple times. I've heard that the game kind of just throws you in there and is like, figure it out. And is that the case? I mean, is there?
Yeah, that's actually something I wanted to talk about, but I didn't bring my sheet that I wrote notes on out that actually had my place. So. Yeah, basically, it throws you in there. It's got a very, very minor tutorial. Basically tells you what buttons do what. But that's about it. It doesn't tell you that you can pull up this menu to select, to say, here, you know what, your squad mates can do this and this, and this is what this does, this is what this does. You can have them take cover. Like, it tells you very, very basic things. And it tells you in one of those, like, text windows where you happen to do something for the first time, and you're kind of like, eh. Whatever, I'll skip that, and I'm sure it'll pop up any other time I do this, or maybe there'll be some tutorial. But there's really not a tutorial at all in the game. It's kind of figure out by yourself, but it's not that hard. I'd say the learning curve for combat, depending on how many games like this you've played, I'd say it's a few hours before you actually get it. You're like, oh, okay, now I get it. Because now I actually turned the difficulty down to casual for a bit, because I was like, this is ridiculous how often I'm dying. But once I got used to the battles, I was like, okay, this makes sense. This is when I should use this power, and this is where I should tell this person to do this. Because the AI, I have it set for they can do their own thing when they want to, but they're not always the smartest. They don't necessarily, when they're getting killed, they won't say, oh, you know what, I'm going to boost up my shields. You should tell them to do that. So once they start to learn how to do that, which doesn't tell you to do, it's a lot easier and a lot more fun.
Cool.
But very, yeah, cool. It's great. That's, everyone buy it.
Fine, yeah, I'm buying it already. Jeez.
Yeah, oh, bought it already. And that's right. That's basically all I played the last week, really.
Ah, good deal. I guess it's my turn then, huh?
Go for it.
Absolutely.
Well, on PS3, I played a little bit more of Eye of Judgment, and I still feel exactly the same as I did last week on Eye of Judgment. I love it. same with Jason, though, Rock Band most of the week.
Wow.
and then today, actually, since we were talking about EB, I went and got Uncharted. I found a used copy of Uncharted at EB. I was like, this game's been out like a week. And, you know, I brought it up there, and dude said, this game's been here about an hour. You always seem to come in and get like the newer games that get here used. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I try and do, man. So I got that. I used my, you know, they have the little zone card where you get 10% off used games. And,
yeah,
you know, when the game's $55, that's, you know, $5.50's. Decently significant, you know.
Yeah.
And then traded in a couple DVDs, got another $10 off, so I got Uncharted for $40. I was happy.
Nice.
I got one quick thing in there. So the whole Uncharted, because we talked about that last week, I remember how I was saying I was going to get it like day one for sure. Didn't get it because my store didn't actually get it in that weekend, and I had to choose between that and Mass Effect. This is why I got Mass Effect, basically because I was like, I needed to have a game I wanted to wait for Christmas to get, you know, have that whole Christmas Day new video game thing. And it was going to be Mass Effect originally until I started reading things online. I was like, you know what, I'm not going to be able to miss spoilers on Mass Effect at all. From, like, all my friends are playing it, I'm reading stuff online about it. Like, I wanted this game to be, like, my own experience, so I had to diss on Uncharted and wait for that for Christmas. That's why I picked up Mass Effect.
Fair enough.
Just in case anyone calls me, I'll be like, you said you were going to get Uncharted! And you didn't, and that's why I didn't get it. So I'm still getting it. I'm just waiting.
Well, I said I wasn't going to get it, and I did. So, you know,
there you go.
We even each other out. How about that? Backing you up, man. I'm backing you up.
Awesome.
Well, I'm going to touch on Uncharted a little bit because I got to play. You know, I got to play for a couple hours today since I just got it, and I basically played the first three chapters, which puts you right up to where the demo starts. The demo kind of seems like it's a first chapter, but it's not. It's chapter four. And I think a lot of people knew that, but, just in case anybody didn't. The visuals are still outstanding. The more I play it, the more I just look around and I'm just like, wow. Even in the first four chapters, it's that way. And, one of the cool things that I noticed was, just more of the lighting and the, like the second chapter, the first two chapters are pretty much all platforming. Wait, scratch that. No, the first chapter has combat in it. The second chapter is all platforming, and you go into this basically a cave, and the flashlights come on, and it's so well done. And me being a lighting whore, I just sit here and watch it. But I did notice tearing at times, but it didn't bother me any. And I did notice lazy loading of textures, and I'm not sure if you know what I mean, but that's basically...
That seems to be like the thing with the this-gen games lately.
Well, I mainly noticed it with PS3, and the first time I noticed it was when I played Lair, and Lair lazy loads textures a lot. It's really evident in there. But for those who don't know what I mean by lazy loading, it's where gameplay will begin and all the textures haven't loaded yet. It will actually finish loading the textures while you're playing the game, and it's basically to make it seem like there's less load time.
Mass Effect has that, a lot of it.
Yeah, and I like it, personally. I mean, it's not like, I'm not going to sit there and be like, oh, that texture was horrible for about 2 seconds.
Yeah.
That's not going to bug me any, but, it does do that, and it doesn't bother me, but it is evident. It's not as evident as Lair, but it is evident.
Yeah, it's not game-breaking by any means.
Not by any means. Yeah. But I did notice a little bit of screen tearing. I had to really look for it. And it was, when I saw it, it was like me pushing the right stick to the left and just holding it there, watching the camera spin around. And it was,
looking.
Exactly.
As you're looking at all your lighting, you're like, ooh, pretty lights. Oh, wait a second. Was that a screen tear?
Oh, darn it. another thing that I noticed is that there was clipping at times. It wasn't even clipping per se. It was more like, it was more subtle drawing. It's like, it doesn't like, it's a tree won't just pop up, but you'll see details of the tree kind of fill in as you're going towards it. You know what I mean?
Okay, I know exactly what you mean. Oblivion, like, you played Oblivion, right?
Oblivion does it too. Yeah, it's basically the same thing. The one thing I did notice the most is the thing that we were complaining about the most last week.
Yeah.
About the hit detection.
Yeah.
I didn't notice it. I actually significantly tried to shoot as fast as I could, and the times when it didn't react, it was actually the times when the AI would get hit, and then you'd see that animation, and he'd immediately duck and move out of the way. And
that's cool.
So it might have happened once, and I didn't even notice it, but it seems better, and it might just be, it might just be me. I don't know, but it looked a lot better for the hit detection.
That's cool.
Yeah. And but as I said, like the first the second chapter is almost all platforming, and it is so much fun. I am just walled by this. It's like, this is what Tomb Raider should have been. I only have a couple more things to say about Uncharted. One of the things that really, really, really impressed me was the voice acting. And you only get like a taste of it out of the demo. Yeah, but I mean, you played the demo and you only get like a little taste. Really, really, really good. And I mean, I was sitting back with my roommate playing it, and even just through the first three chapters, I mean, we were cracking up, laughing at just some of the jokes they were cracking and stuff like that. I mean, it's just really well done. And I mean, I would go as far as to say that the production value of Uncharted is better than Heavenly Sword, and I love Heavenly Sword.
That's a big thing to say.
It is a big thing to say. I don't know if you guys knew this, but this is something that I didn't know about until I played it. Uncharted has achievements.
Does it really?
Yeah, it's got
achievements. Or
basically, yeah. They call them medal points, and there's 1,000 medal points, and you do certain things, and it opens up new rewards. Like you might, I haven't looked at the rewards yet, honestly, but you get like maybe videos or something like that. But I was, there's little hidden treasures that you can pick up. And you get 5 treasures, and it says, reward unlocked, and it tells you, like, novice treasure hunter or something like that. And they have one for, like, getting a specific amount of headshots and that kind of thing.
That is really cool, actually.
Does that translate online? Can someone see that?
I don't know if they can yet, but I'm wondering if this is how Home is going to integrate the trophy system, if it's going to actually have, like, medal points, and that's what it's going to be. That's how they're going to work, like trophies and medals and stuff like that. Because if every game for the PS3 from here on out has that stuff, that's going to be kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. It gives you a little bit more incentive to play the game even longer than you would.
Yeah, I'm not an achievement whore by any means, but like no. I like to try and get the achievements of the games that I play that I think worthwhile.
If they make it worthwhile, yeah. Heavenly Sword I think did a great job of making everything worthwhile from what I've seen thus far. All the videos that I've seen, like the commentary, the behind the scenes stuff, all the artwork, the unlockable videos and stuff, I'm like, hell yeah, I'll keep going just for that.
Yeah,
so I have a problem with that one though. The only problem with the Heavenly Sword one was though, you can download a lot of stuff
for
free. PSN.
Correct.
Yeah, without even having to do any of that.
Yeah, but that's the cool thing about Heavenly Sword though, is that it's not just videos and stuff. I mean, you unlock new combos and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah.
So I mean, who knows when you unlock all of that stuff and you have like the last combo that you get? Who the hell knows what it's going to do?
Some people might say that it's just a cheap way of achieving additional replay value, but I don't know.
If it works, there's only a few games that do it right,
and I think they did it right.
Yeah.
And it sounds like Uncharted is going to do it too.
Terrible.
Well, that's what I got to say about Uncharted, and I absolutely love the game, and I'm going to keep playing it, and hopefully I'll have some more information for you guys next week, too. But the game that's been taking up most of my time this week has been Mario.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, last week I had, what, like 20 stars, something like that?
Yep.
Yeah, I got all 120 now.
I hate
you. You beat the game.
Yes, I did. I was absolutely addicted. It's like every moment that I had available, I was playing Mario. It was horrible.
So how many hours is that total?
I think it was going to be clocked in around 15. It doesn't really track you. If it does, I haven't seen where it does. But it took me like a good 12 to 15 hours to get all 120 stars. Well worth the time, I think. There were some frustrations I had with like the last of the stars. Because, you know, unlike in Mario 64, you had to go back to levels and collect 100 coins in the levels to get a star. I think it was 100 coins. This has something similar, but they're purple coins. And you go back to the stages, to the galaxies that you've already been to, and they have the level specifically designed for these purple coins. And it's kind of cool, but, I mean, they have a few stages on there that are just ridiculously frustrating. And, I
now,
mean...
What kind of frustrating? Are we looking at, like, designer flaws? Or, like, game design flaws? Or, like, basically good design but frustrating basically because they actually made it really hard for you to get to where you need to get to?
Did they make it harder or do you just suck basically?
That's basically what I'm saying.
It's probably a mixture of both. But honestly I had a large amount of frustration with one particular stage, and I actually posted on Gamers Liberation Front about it. That's how frustrated I was with it. And that's unlike me, but there was like one particular stage where you're on a flat planet, so you can fall off, and you had to collect 100 coins on this planet, and then after you get 100 coins, the star appears, and you have to go get the star. Well, the star appears where you started in the stage, and like as you're going through the stage, there's tiles on the ground. A third of the tiles disappear, another third of the tiles flip around. And then the other third is like quicksand, so as soon as you touch it, you're basically dead. It sucks you.
The fourth set of tiles just rape you anally.
We'll call those microtransactions.
Nice. Nice. But, and it took me 20-something times to get all 100 coins on these stages, and I actually did it 3 times, but because the star shows up at the start of the stage and everything's disappearing, you have to clear yourself a path to get back. And the first time I collected 100 purple coins, I was in the middle of a long jump. And the camera pans around to show you the star appearing, and then it pans back. And it's like,
no.
Yeah, well, shit, my timing's off now. What the hell do you want me to do? And you just fall to your death. So, you know, after I got through that stage, everything else was... You know, everything was less annoying. I mean, that was probably the hardest star that I had to get. And all I can say is people that get there, if you get frustrated, you get frustrated, put it down, come back to it. Eventually you will get it. It is a pain in the ass, but eventually you will get it.
Do not throw your Wiimote at the TV.
Definitely not. That would be horrible. But you do get a little bonus after you beat the game with
really?
120 stars.
You get to see Mario... getting nasty with the princess?
please, please, please.
No,
please,
you don't please, get
please.
That.
Oh, shit. Oh,
sorry. Oh. But you do get to play as Luigi.
No way.
Oh, so you get to see Mario get nasty with Luigi?
Exactly. It's all about mustache.
I always knew it. The mustache
rides.
I always
did kind of have kind of a Bert and Ernie kind of thing going on.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But the cool thing about this is, I the night I beat it, I didn't play as Luigi that night. You know, I went to sleep and came. When I woke up, I was like, all right, I want to try Luigi out just in case there's something different, you know. Well, Luigi runs faster and jumps higher than Mario does.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's kind of cool in that respect. But there's also a downside to that because he also takes longer to stop. So, like, if you're running full speed and you try and stop, he'll just skid, like, three times the amount as Mario would. And that bit me the first stage that I actually played with him because... excuse me. He,
Not dying on it, sorry.
No, not today. Maybe tomorrow. But I was running trying to collect these little, pieces of a star to make, like, a slingshot star. And I went to collect one, and I tried to stop, and I just skid right off the side into the light. I was like, sweet.
It's like old-school Super Mario 2 styles.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Well, Luigi jumps like he does in Super Mario Bros. 2.
Cool.
Where he jumps higher. And when you do,
legs are flailing?
Yeah. When you do the triple jump with Luigi, he has the running in the air jump. It's pretty cool. It's
people wonder
like
why they think he's gay.
Well, it's a tribute. It's a tribute to Mario 2. Give him a break. But yeah, so you get to play as Luigi. It's a lot of fun. And apparently, from what I'm understanding, if you get 120 stars with Luigi, there's another stage where you can get the 121st star. Or, in reality, the 241st star, I guess.
Oh my god.
Oh, shit.
I'm not sure if I'm going to be playing religiously to do that, but we'll see. That's pretty much
that's
it.
All you've been playing on the Wii?
What's that?
That's all you've been playing on the Wii?
That's it on the Wii. And then I've been still been playing Castlevania. I finally unlocked Symphony of the Night, and I got to play it for, you know, probably an hour.
Sorry for interrupting, but you have to unlock Symphony of the Night? It's not just there?
No, it's not.
So
you have to find
Dracula?
No. What it is you know, I don't
it's
know.
It's actually
how
pretty early
here.
On. Yeah.
Yeah, it is early on. But are you familiar with Rondo Blood at all?
No, I've never played it. I played the really shitty Super Nintendo version way back in the day for a bit.
Okay, so you've never played it, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
each stage in Rondo of Blood has like a secret path that you can go. When you find the secret paths in this version of it, there'll be a candle that you hit that drops a special item that unlocks something in the game. And okay. One of the unlockables is the actual original version of Rondo of Blood that was on the PC Engine. And then the other one is Symphony of the Night.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, there was talk about Symphony of the Night having new voices and new dialogue, and it does. It's much, much better.
I gotta agree.
Ooh!
Oh, I don't know. I mean, the original
vines,
dialogue was extremely cheesy, and yeah, it gets bonus points for that, but they were really bad sometimes. I listened to it this time through, and they did a very good job of keeping things sounding somewhat the same while removing a little bit of the cheese, which is great. I'm cool with that. The only time I really notice something is when you first meet up with the Grim Reaper who takes all your shit. He sounds completely different, so I was like, aww.
Yeah, most of the guys sound similar to what they used to sound. It's just that the lines are better and the voices aren't nearly as bad. No more, die, monster! Now it's something,
that's so classic.
Yeah, now it's something in just totally different. It's like, Dracula, you do not belong here, or something like that.
That sounds much better.
Oh, yeah. It's high quality lines, man.
Even from Rikyu, it sounds better. Nice. Sorry, Chris.
Rikyo's fine.
Chris is not. Chris's blood.
There's that, too. Yes. Oh, Resident Evil. That was.
You, Jill, the master of unlocking things.
Yeah.
Speaking of bad voice acting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, it's turning around. Hey, Uncharted's got wicked voice acting. Mass Effect. It's going in a good way.
That's true. Mass Effect.
We're exploring both sides of the the spectrum here. We're talking about Uncharted and Mass Effect, which have incredible acting and voice, and then, you know, Symphony of the Night, the original version, and Resident Evil. So, great.
They all have a place in our hearts, though.
That's right. That's it for me this week. I mean, you guys have anything else that you've been working on?
No.
I'm just going to tell everyone, buy Mass Effect.
Buy Mass Effect. I promise I will. I'll buy it eventually after I beat Uncharted.
Yes. All right. Everyone buy Uncharted too.
So, Jeff, what's happening in news this week?
This week, not too much happening in news. As we all know, all the big releases are out, and companies are probably going to take it easy for a bit. There's some stuff here that is worth mentioning. First one, Sony halves the price of the PS3 development kits for developers.
Awesome. You guys, it's very good news.
Yeah, great news, especially for the smaller developers out there. That because it is pretty damn expensive. It's one of these going regular price before the price drop was probably about $25,000. So imagine like the guy who made Everyday Shooter. He's like, you know, price of entry is $25,000 right from the beginning. And then what he sells the game for, what, $10?
For that, man, because they actually showed pictures of his apartment on the PlayStation blog, and the guy lives like eating out of ramen noodles. He's got like He-Man bed sheets and shit. He's just very low tech. He's got a little itty bitty like 1920-inch TV in his living room. I'm like, what the hell? So I don't know where he came up with the cash.
I bet Sony helped out with that guy for a little bit. You know,
I hope so.
Oh, they must have. Yeah.
You know, they were probably looking for something really different and exclusive on PSN, and they saw Everyday Shooter and said, "Hey, let's do that." So
I can't help but wonder if it wasn't a PC title first in some capacity, and then
he developed it for PC. He said,
"Did he?"
Yeah, and then he said it took him like a few months to get it from PC to PS3.
Cool.
I think GameSpot had a had like an interview with him or something like that. Oh, yeah. I remember reading it because I was very interested in the game at that point, and you know, I bought it and I love it. So,
well, I'm really excited about this news because more niche developers are going to get on board, and that's something that I think PlayStation's been lacking a little bit. We're seeing a ton of AAA titles, which is great. I don't know. I think I'm more drawn towards kind of weird titles, something that you're not going to see. I don't know. Getting reviews everywhere. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, hey Jay, all you need is $10,250, and you can buy one of these dev kits yourself.
Chris, sweet. Let's do it.
Let's there get on it.
We keep talking about it.
We can punch out a game in a couple weeks, don't you think?
Yeah, right.
With all of our programming knowledge? Oh, yeah. Easily. let's go to the opposite end of the spectrum here. We got Microsoft. They're partnering with Atlas. You guys are familiar with Atlas.
Very nice. Much so.
Love Atlas.
Great move. For those of you out there, Atlas have made some games recently. Odin Sphere, Persona 3. Grimdemore, is that what
Grim
it's called?
Grimdemore, yeah. It uses the same engine that Odinsphere uses, but it's a real-time strategy game.
Yep.
Yeah, gorgeous looking. Great looking.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sprites. Yeah. This isn't an exclusivity deal, so it's not like Microsoft bought out Atlas. Atlas just never made or developed games for Microsoft consoles before, and now it looks like they're showing interest, I guess, and they have a couple... Nothing's been announced yet, but they have some titles in the works for 360. So it's not to say they're just going to come out just for 360. It's most likely multi-platform games. There is actually mention that there will be maybe a couple exclusives, but my guess is just basically it's just another third party to jump on board with Microsoft's platform. So I think that's good all the way around, as long as they keep producing the same kind of titles. I mean, they don't all sell very well, but they're all very, very good games.
Yep.
And I love Golden Sphere.
I think to the systems.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Mm-hmm. Nights into Dreams, speaking of, I guess, PS2, these are PS2 games. PS2 is getting a port of Nights into Dreams, the original Saturn version. You guys remember that? Do you guys play that?
Nice.
You guys miss out?
I
guess
you
play Mario instead?
No, I played it, and I wasn't interested in the same games that I'm interested with now. You know, I'm not the same gamer I was then, like 10 years ago or however long ago it was. So I tried it out once, and I wasn't impressed, and I just never went back to it, and now I'm kicking myself for it, so.
Yeah, it's great. So now you guys will have the chance. It's coming out. Of course, the Journey into Dreams is coming out for the Wii. That's just this holiday, I believe, right? Next month? Is it December?
It's supposed to be, yeah.
It's supposed to be December. Then this is coming out in Japan only as of right now, so that's kind of the bad news.
It needs to come here.
Yes, it needs to. And I'm guessing, I think they will. I don't see why they wouldn't bring it over here, especially if it does well in Japan. And the way that the Japanese market's going right now, I wouldn't be surprised if actually a game like this did actually do better here. And I have a feeling they're going to wait and see how the Wii version does, and if it, you know, sells like gangbusters, I think I see it as a pretty good chance it'll come out here. And if it does, all you guys need to buy it. I'm sure it'll be cheap, hopefully. I mean, we can't confirm anything here, but it's a great game. If you missed out on it, it's definitely a lot of fun, and everyone should give it a shot.
Yeah, definitely. You know, they said they're going to use what resources they can from the Wii version to upgrade the graphics to as close to the Wii version as they can.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That's definitely a decent idea. Now that the game doesn't hold up, it still does look pretty and stuff, but it is kind of blocky and kind of pixely and whatnot, but it's
yeah,
it's
Saturn,
very cool.
Saturn wasn't known for its 3D.
No,
Saturn
was definitely not. Its 2D. Definitely not.
3D was an afterthought.
It definitely was. And speaking about afterthoughts, there's some celebrities who you guys definitely all know but might not have seen in a while. William Shatner and Mr. T, bigging out World of Warcraft.
Yes. Have you seen these commercials?
I just saw them today, actually. And they're pretty funny. The Shatner one, I can kind of, I don't know, you got to be a fan. I'm doing air quotes over the radio right now, but you got to be a fan of Shatner to really appreciate
it. To do.
Yeah, but the Mr. T one is
that
was
pretty good.
Hilarious.
So give a quick rundown of the Mr. T one or something like that, or either Shatner, just to give the audience an idea of what these actually are. And just so I can finish here, but basically this is both these celebrities, if you want to call them celebrities. I mean, Shatner is one of the most famous Canadians there are up here in the Great.
You had to throw that in, didn't
I'm
you?
Sorry.
Of course. I mean, Captain Kirk was Canadian. I mean, what else can I say?
We have the same birthday,
actually. A lot.
Picard was better. Oh, sorry.
Never. He didn't get laid half as much as Kirk.
Yeah, that's because Riker was taking all the chicks. Oh, wait, sorry.
I'm not a big Star Trek fan, so.
I'm displaying how much of a geek I am right now. So.
How does that work for you, Chris? Because you kind of look like Riker.
Oh, that was cold.
Oh.
Jason, we're not on talking terms anymore.
Oh.
It could have been. You could have said Worf. That would be
worse. I would have. No, I would have taken that more as more of a compliment than Riker. But yeah, the Mr. T one is like. He comes in, he starts, you know, the whole idea is that they start talking about their character, and Mr. T, he starts talking about, he has this night elf mohawk. And he's like, mohawk is not a class, it's a warrior. And he goes, and he starts talking, well, maybe Mr. T knows more about programming than the director knows. And maybe Mr. T hacked the game and made a mohawk class. And it's just, it's hilarious. And he's typical, straight up typical Mr. T during the whole commercial. And he goes, it's awesome. He goes, I'm Mr. T, and this is my not-elf mohawk. You gotta watch
some riding the battle cat.
You can see me next season on Surreal Life.
William. Now, don't they have someone else on board, too? Vern Troyer? What do you think?
Yeah, you mentioned that to me. I don't know about that for sure. You're going to have to...
Yeah, I saw that on the site. Yeah, Vern Troyer is slated to make one, too. And I don't know. I mean, first obvious choice, he's going to be a gnome, but... I don't know. That sounds too easy. He should be like a.
Yeah,
he should be a chick blood elf and like hit on guys and inns and stuff. Yeah.
So yeah, you can check those out. Just I'm sure you can find them on YouTube, whatnot. But they will be airing on TV very shortly, if not now. I don't know if they're running now, but anytime now, either way. Sorry, pardon me here. I'm like choking here. All right. More PS3 news. Unreal Tournament 3 has gone gold and is due out sometime in December. And everyone thought this was going to be delayed into early next year, but it looks like it will be out probably about mid-December. Look for it in stores. They're giving an estimate around December 11th. That's when they're estimating where it's going to ship out. So great news for all the PS3 owners out there.
That's big news, because everyone thought it was going to be delayed. And with all the things that are being delayed right now for the PlayStation, I mean... It's good to see something that actually is making it.
Exactly. And I mean, especially since Hades now has been pushed back, so kind of takes that place. And
well, probably a good thing, more than anything.
I mean, it'll be interesting to see if it sells, because I mean, not the other Unreal Tournament games didn't sell too well on the Xbox. I mean, I'm pretty sure the first one did, because I think it was a launch game, actually, for Xbox Live. So I think a lot of people dove into that, but I'm not sure how much legs it had. And I know Unreal Championship 2 didn't do that well on Xbox.
Well,
I mean, I played it. I bought it, but... It wasn't that great.
This is kind of the first big name FPS since Resistance, really. I mean, they've had a few other ones here and there, like The Darkness and, you know, some others. But, I mean, the one that's been in the limelight since E3 2005 has been Unreal Tournament 3.
Agreed.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean,
that and Killzone. And Killzone's not coming until later next year, so.
Yeah.
I think
yeah,
this. this will probably do decent, at least.
Hopefully. It's another game out there to fit in with Uncharted and stuff like that. Since PS3 didn't have too many brand new games for the holiday besides, I guess, Ratchet and Uncharted. They have other games released before that, but getting this one in there just before Christmas, I think it'll do well this holiday.
I'll give it a shot. We'll see.
Yeah.
Okay, and last but definitely not least, we have the Fatal Inertia coming to PS3 spring 2008. What do you guys think?
Who gives a shit?
Flying shit.
Did anybody give a shit when it was on 360?
Did anyone give a shit when it was announced? Hey, I'm a big fan of Wipeout, so when they said, yeah, Fatal Inertia's coming, it plays a lot like Wipeout, but you boot it up and it looks like shit. I mean, come on.
It looks like shit, plays like shit.
I just remember the stink that was being raised about this game. It's like, oh, PS3 exclusive, and then it was going multi-platform, and then it was coming out for 360, and nobody knew when PS3 versions come out. And then the demo came out, and nobody cared after that, because the game is so bad. Yeah. I mean, it'd be better off not coming out at all.
Basically, I don't understand how they're going to make money off this at all. I mean, who know? First of all, it's rumored to cost more money to pour something to the PS3, and they're going to take the time to do that, and then they're going to release it to... I mean, Wipeout HD is just around the corner. Why in the hell would anyone take this over Wipeout?
Yeah, I agree.
I don't...
Not to mention that this has got to be the worst use of the Unreal Engine ever. It does use Unreal Engine, right?
Wow. That's
pretty sure it does. I think so. I think that was one of the big selling titles. It was delayed so long for PS3 because the PS3 was having so many problems with the engine itself that you know, they couldn't get it right. So... obviously, they couldn't get it right on 360 either. So,
yeah, no kidding. I don't think the engine has anything to do with it. It's like, you know, when a girl comes up to you, it's like, do I look fat in this shirt? And like, I don't think the shirt has anything to do with it, man. Like, you're fat.
Wow.
Okay. But yeah, that's all the news. That's all the news for this week.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right, cool. Well, why don't we take a break?
All right.
And we'll finish up when we come back.
What's coming up next?
You guys stay tuned. We've got Rock Band.
Ooh.
As well as a user email and question of the week. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
That's good.
Be a good one.
This week's episode of the Interactive Distractions Podcast is sponsored by PocketOtaku.com. Rock the chibi.
Do you hear that?
It's Santa! Santa's here!
No, you idiot. It's almost February. Go get Dad and let's get the gun.
Ho, ho, ho. Wait just a minute there, Timmy.
Santa, what are you...
Catch this.
Ah, my neurons.
Be quiet, Sally, or I'll have to silence you, too.
But Timmy's head is broken.
Broken? Or made better. Don't worry. Now that you've got a brick... you'll never have to cry again.
What am I supposed to do with this stupid brick?
It's not just any brick, Sally. It's a brick. A brick is great. You can put stuff on it. A brick doesn't mind. A brick makes a great stocking stuffer. A brick can be used to defend your home against robbers. A brick can be used as a paperweight. Late for work? Not if you use a brick to smash your punch clock. Yeah, Sally, a brick helps trim your naughty boys and girls list by using him as a projectile weapon. A brick cares. And unlike a message board, a brick won't chastise and belittle you when you share your feelings.
Wow, a brick is awesome!
A brick, now available on www.pocketotaku.com. Warning, a brick is not edible, may cause serious injury if thrown, and still probably won't be your friend if you're touchy-feely.
Welcome back. Glad you're still with us. I wanted to quickly interject something that last week we didn't get a chance to do this particular segment of our podcast because we were running long. This week we're a little bit closer to where we want to be on time. We're still a little long, but we're going to try and throw this in anyway. This is a segment that we call Dear X. It's where one of us kind of throws together a letter that we wouldn't mind X company or X person.
Yeah, not ex-girlfriends.
Yes. Yes, definitely not ex-girlfriends.
This is our drunk style segment.
Yeah, dear, that's next week.
Dear Company X or Dear Person X, and just, you know, it could be a rant or it could be a rave, either one. And this is so this is kind of something that we decided that we wanted to try and see what you guys thought of. So any comments would be welcome. And this week I'm going to start it out, and next week we'll have someone else doing it. So we'll see how it goes. And here is mine. Dear Sony, you recently released firmware version 2.0, and now it's up to 2.01 for the PS3. I really like the fact that I can now turn on and off my PS3 via remote play with my PSP. As a matter of fact, I got to use this function almost immediately. The Thursday following the 2.0 release, I updated my PS3 and my PSP's firmwares and registered my PSP with my PS3 in anticipation of the release of the Uncharted demo. So, after work, we went to the pub for happy hour like we do every Thursday. I broke out my PSP, hooked to my PS3, downloaded Uncharted, installed it, and turned off my system, all with a beer readily available at the pub. When I got home, Uncharted was waiting for me. What a great thing. However, I have no freaking idea why you haven't yet to address the two biggest issues with the PS3. Everyone wants in-game cross-media bar.
Yes.
I don't want to have to exit the game to check a message that Jason or Jeff sends me. Even with the feature working better with home in place, it still is of value to us now. You say you're working on it, but I sure as hell hope that you aren't holding out until home. I understand delaying home for the delay station too, so you can improve it, but to hold back a feature that your consumers want and need is just for this reason? Not cool. Also, I'm starting to wonder if you even realize that 30 to 40% of your HDTV owners are still running at 1080i only. I was one of those people until recently. And what happens to a 720p game when, which most of your library to date seems to be, when you attempt to display it on a 1080i only TV? It fucking downscales to 480p. What the hell is that about? Every HD device I have ever seen has a built-in upscaler. Hell, the 360 does it. I have no idea what you guys are thinking. Look at your own forums. There's a topic on the US PlayStation Underground forum that's 200 pages long with people talking about this problem. And it's the second one. The first one was locked after 86 pages. You should see the game sales you're losing because of this. If you actually address these problems, everything else would be gravy. Get on it, would you? Sincerely, Christopher Dennis Riccio.
Bravo, woo! Sir.
Well done. Well played. Well played, sir.
So, yep. What do you guys think of the things I addressed there?
I guess totally the only agree. Thing I can really interject is that, yes, cross-media VAR needs to be integrated into the game somehow, some way. They have such a long way to go to catch up with the live service, and I don't know. They're dragging their feet, it seems. That's
all, yeah, I've got to say. The thing is,
for me, it's not even – I don't even need the full functionality of the cross-media VAR, right? I just want to be able to check my messages.
Exactly.
Right. You know, I mean, there are times when I'm in the middle of playing a game and it's like, you got a message from Chibi Knight, one of our buddies that's on my friends list. It's like, that's great. I'll check it in like an hour and a half when I'm done playing.
Exactly. And what's even worse is I'll get a message. I'll be playing, you know, like Resistance or something, and I'll get a message like, so-and-so sent you a message. I'll be like, well, fuck, I don't want to play a couple games. I'll get another message. I'll be like, oh, fuck, it's probably important. And I'll log off. Check the message, and it's basically a friend of mine saying, dude, get out of your game, I'm playing Resistance, let's start a new one, let me get in there, kind of thing. You know, it's like, what the fuck, you're playing the same game as me, why do I have to leave to get that message and be like, alright, I'm here,
point.
You know, let's play. It's, and what ticks me off is this was around for original Xbox, and people say, some people are kind of, it's kind of like a rumor, but basically the whole RAM, not limitations on the PS3, sorry, but the way how it's segmented, how they can't have that running the same time they're running some kind of software to its like 100% capacity kind of thing, where so they can't have that feature. But if last gen consoles were doing it on 256, why can't they do it now?
Exactly.
And I still don't understand that whole thing, because I mean, there are ways to get around that. I mean, every system has a hard drive. Why can't you implement something like virtual memory that like Windows does? If you run out of space in your RAM, you know, if someone hits that PS button, you pause the game, you know, you write some data to the hard drive for temporary space, open up the RAM, pull up the cross media bar, and when you go back, you grab the stuff out of virtual memory and you start playing again. I mean, Windows has been doing that since Windows 95, Windows 3.1. I have no idea where it started, but it's been for a long time.
Yeah. So what the hell is Sony doing then?
I have no idea.
Do you think they can't? Do you think they're really holding out for Home? I don't even know if Home is going to fix that, to tell you the truth, because if Home is supposed to fix that, that would mean Home would have to be running while you're playing a game, which I don't think is going to help the situation anymore. It might help when you're...
I've heard rumors of that. I honestly don't know if that's true or not, but that's the rumor I heard.
I don't know. They need to get on, because that is essential. People might not... They might be like, it's not that big of a deal, it's not a big issue, but it really is, and especially when you're trying to organize games online or anything along those lines. And I can see people who haven't experienced it on, say, Xbox Live or even some PC programs and stuff like that. If you don't experience it, you don't know what you're missing, kind of thing. But once you experience it and you're like, oh, it's just such a pain in the ass to have to exit whatever you're doing to check a message or even to invite a friend to a game, it's just, I don't know. Even to tell you a game's open. I mean, add that at least. So if you look on your friends and say, so-and-so's playing Call of Duty 4, it doesn't tell you if they're playing multiplayer, if they're playing single player, it just says Call of Duty 4. It doesn't tell you, you know, it'd be nice to say like, hey, they're playing multiplayer, there's room in the server they're on, I'm going to go join it. Can't even do that.
Yeah, well.
You can turn on your system.
Yeah, you can turn on your system using your PSP. Just
wherever you want. Hey, I'm in Australia. Check this out, dude. I can turn on my PS3. Check it out. Now what does it do? Well, no, but look, it turned on the system. I'm in Australia, man. That's cool.
Look, I can look at my couch. I can listen to my music.
Yeah, exactly, which is also on my PSP.
I can't diss that, though. I mean, I do like that feature.
That's really cool. Yeah, when you told me about that, I was like, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. The whole 1080i thing, I mean, that's something that probably... I mean, I know you guys haven't had to deal with it because Jason, I know you just got just got your first HDTV, and
yeah, it's
Jeff,
only
42, I'm pretty sure you have one.
It's like with 720. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, mine supports 720 and 1080i, so I didn't.
Yeah, but and 720 is great because I mean all the games support 720. Mm-hmm. But man, was it frustrating to pull up the Heavenly Sword demo on my PS3 and watch it downscale. I'm like, wow, I bet this game is damn beautiful when it's in HD. That was very frustrating.
Yeah,
they need to get on that.
I agree.
And I'm surprised they haven't done it yet, because especially when they're releasing firmware updates every couple weeks or like once a month, it's just like, what? I don't see the point. Like, I know we had this conversation before. I think it was with you, Chris, on the forums, but was saying that you'd rather, or actually no, it was Samdu actually was saying how he'd rather them come out with these updates every 2 weeks or whatnot than have them sit on them for months and months and then send out one big massive update. But I don't even know what I'm gaining for half these updates I'm doing, and there's rumors that some of these updates are screwing up things, so they're sending out more updates to fix those things. And
well, did you hear what 2.01 addressed?
No, I have no clue. I just know I had to download it yesterday, and it took like 15 minutes.
If you have, I've actually experienced what this was about too. If you actually have Remote Play enabled, every once in a while, your system will just turn on for no reason. It just kind of goes beep, and I'm like, what the hell?
Hey, dude, check this out, man. If I just leave my PSP, it'll just turn on by itself.
Exactly. And that's what it was doing. And I'm like, what was that about? And it, you know, it beeps every time it turns on. And it's like, and I would switch over and, you know, go to the right input. And I'm like, it says Remote Play. I'm like, what the hell? And see, one of the things that got me is that, you know, I just upgraded my PSP to the Slim. Well, I had my old PSP registered with my PS3. And then I sold that old PS3 to a buddy of mine that lives in Florida. I'm like, I wonder if he's trying to access my system. So I went in and I removed that PSP from the system.
That's pretty funny.
So I don't know. I just thought that was kind of weird. But yeah, the update fixed that problem. So my PS3 doesn't randomly turn on for no reason anymore. So that's great.
Well, that's a plus. Again, they fix a problem that happened with an update. That's great. That's good. I mean, hey, if you're going to make mistakes, correct them.
That's right. Well, Jeff, I know that this is going to be a hard segment for you to swallow.
Yeah.
But it's time to talk about Rock Band, man.
Sorry, man. I fucking hate you guys.
No, you don't. You love it. You love it. Because you're going to hear all about it, and you're going to be just that more excited when you go out and drop your $170.
That's true. I'm actually looking forward to it. Listen to you guys and see what you guys think.
But
what your impressions are. Just don't rub it in, okay? Don't worry, it sucks.
Yeah, it's horrible.
I know, it's terrible. Man,
it's
I'm
worst,
not missing
the worst anything. Rhythm music game I've ever played.
Ugh. That's what I figured. So, you know, let's just skip the segment altogether.
I wanted to start by mentioning that Jason and I, we live in Atlanta, and the Rock Band World Tour that's been going around, they actually stopped here, and they had one at the Best Buy up the street from my house, and me and a few buddies went up, and we got to play, and they put us up on stage and recorded us and threw
that's
the video
so cool.
up on the internet.
I love
it. And
that.
It was a lot of fun, and I actually ended up doing vocals, which sound horrible. But
yeah, Chris,
I'm still going
to
try.
Are we going to be able to see the video? That's all I want to know.
I think the video is still up. Someone, I actually saw a post that said that the video wasn't there anymore on PO. So I'm wondering if it's still accessible. But if it is still accessible, I don't mind laughing at myself. I'll throw it up there.
So where can I see this monstrosity?
There's a topic on GLF about it. Wait, was there? I think there was. I don't
GLF
know.
Is Gamers Liberation.
Yes, GamersLiberationFront.com.
That's right.
I think there was, but I'm going to go grab the video again, and I'll post it with the show notes and everything.
So can't wait.
Hopefully cool. that's still up there. But yeah, Jason and, like, how many people were there, Jason? There were 7 people total, I think.
Yeah, John, Tina, Lisa, Alex, you and me, so 6.
And Crystal.
Oh, and Crystal. I'm sorry, Crystal. 7. I suck.
So,
and the dogs.
Yeah, there were 7 people jammed in my living room, which I used to think was a pretty big living room until yesterday.
Until you get those drums in there.
But, I mean, we had an absolute blast. We were just playing the Rock Band. They have, like, the multiplayer just quick start one. And, you know, we would just... Everybody made characters, and I know Jason's itching to talk about that. Jason, why don't you jump in on that?
It was amazing. Last night, we had this full group of people. We actually had 3 girls there, and it was surreal because we had this group of girls sitting there chatting about their clothing options. Should I go with green or pink? And, you know, the guys are just talking about what songs are kicking their asses. I actually envisioned like a web comic panel where, you know, you got like 3 guys together and they're like, dude, we need a singer, and then somebody's girlfriend steps in and she's like, I'll play. And so the guys are excited, and then the next panel it cuts to the girl just going, now which top should I go with, and the guys are just pissed off. So they're excited that, yeah, anyway, that was something that was extremely surprising and very welcome about the whole Rock Band experience. They do a great job of trying to get you in the game because of the clothing options and whatnot. When you first go in, initially, you're just presented with very basic, you know, you can change your face, your hair color, some of your clothes. Where it gets really, really in-depth is in, like, the tattoos. What you can do is you go in and you select which portion you want to put it on. You want to put it on your left arm, right arm, maybe your chest. Select that, and then you're presented with a list of what I assume are actual, you know, illustrators and artists, professional. And they provided a bunch of artwork to Rock Band to use. So you go through and you choose your piece, you place it, you can rotate it, color it. And normally, in most games, you know, that would be it. You can choose 1 tattoo per arm or whatever. Not so anymore. What you can do after you place it, you can choose a new layer. So, in effect, you can cover your entire body, well, I mean the arms and the chest, it looks like full sleeves. And just completely customize the way this you look, and I'm just blown away by this because I really don't think it's
that's pretty
before.
Awesome.
So excited, but all the character models are still stylized and kind of cartoony, but they added, I don't know, I want to say like a grunge or grit filter to give it a little bit of realism. It's definitely a departure from the old like Guitar Hero art direction where everything was like scribbled on notebooks and over the top, cartoony, flashy. This one's, yeah, a little more scaled back, a little dirtier. I dig it a lot.
That's pretty cool. I've always wanted that in like the band type games. Like Guitar Hero has like no customization whatsoever. That's something I kind of wanted. I was like, it'd be kind of cool to make your own character and have you know, own tattoos and stuff.
They rocked it out this time. They really, really did. So.
Yeah, they did a really good job.
Mm-hmm.
We just had a blast. I mean, we had mostly the girls were singing, and then me and one of my a couple of my buddies were playing guitar or bass, we're switching off, and every once in a while we'd jump on drums, and you know, Jason's big on the drums, so he was on drums all night basically.
Picked up the bass one for it, yeah.
Yeah.
She's pretty good. I was surprised.
She is good. She's been practicing, so she's pretty good.
I've got a long way to go. Oh man.
I have to say, one of the things that I really, really love about what they did with Rock Band, as opposed to like what was done with Guitar Hero, is like, you know, when you're playing Guitar Hero, you use your star power, and that's, you know, you just play notes. And if there are, if there happens to be any star notes in there, you lose the chance to get them. In Rock Band, when you go into overdrive, which is using your star power, the notes that give you more on your overdrive bar still come down. So as your overdrive bar is shrinking, if you hit those notes, it'll increase again.
That's cool.
Yeah, and it really adds a little bit more. It makes it a little more relaxed on when you're going to use your star power, because you don't want to. It's like on Guitar Hero, I was like, all right, when do the stars show up? Can I use it now? And
right
here, you don't really have to do that as much.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've seen some videos, and just confirm if it's correct or not, but is there a time in any song, is it every song or just maybe some songs, where you can kind of do like a freestyle thing, freestyle mode?
There is, yeah. Actually, yeah. I mean, you can, especially with the drums. You know, there's the spots either towards the end, or maybe there's a fill in between where you can just kind of rock out for a little bit and then end it with like a crash cymbal or something, and that'll put you into overdrive mode. With guitars, Chris, I'm not exactly sure because I haven't played that one too much.
With guitar, you only get the like the little jam segment where you can throw in whatever you want. You only get that at the end of certain songs.
And that's like a score multiplier type thing. Like everybody's just rocking out towards the end. You're jamming as fast as you can. And then at the end, you all have to hit, you know, a note at the same time. And if you do hit that, then you get the entire bonus that you just jammed out to.
Right.
If one person misses it, then they get their ass kicked and thrown out of the house.
That happened a couple times last night. We had we'd have a bonus score coming at us for like 15,000 or something like that. And after you finish jamming out, you have to hit the last note of the song, or you lose it. And there were like two or three times where we had like a 14,000, 15,000 like jam bonus, and then you just hear this. Pink, and you lose it
because everyone's just looking around like, what the fuck?
It was me. And no, it was you.
The best part about that is that it's like when you're playing, if you miss it, you hear crickets in the background.
That's pretty funny. They did a great job with multiplayer stuff too. Going back to the overdrive mode, you can kind of hold on to it and use it when you need to. What I mean by that is that, I mean, you've got an entire band, and say someone's really sucking, and they fail. You know, back in the olden days when you had to, like, push start to continue or something like that? You have to have somebody in the band go into overdrive mode, and as soon as it does, it saves the other person that died. So it gets them back to the game.
Come back.
Yeah, you basically when you do that, though, you don't actually go into overdrive mode. You use some of your overdrive bar to save them. Mm-hmm. And it's like... it's bringing them back to life, basically.
Yeah, that's the thing that Peter Moore failed at during E3.
I think so.
Playing on easy.
You can only fail out. You can only be saved three times. So if you actually fail out a fourth time, the rest of the band can keep playing, but it's basically a timer, because since you're missing an instrument, then you start getting booed really heavily, and you're. Like your score meter, your progress meter will turn red and just start going down slowly. Right. And you just have to hope that you either get star power or finish the song before.
So it's kind of like a bleed out kind of phase.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, that's a cool little feature. I liked that. Mm-hmm. The whole saving. And then at the end of each song, they give everyone titles, and if you had to save someone, your title is Savior underneath.
That's funny. Yeah, that is pretty funny. That's how is the difficulty compared to Guitar Hero 3? Is it similar? Like, if you were to play, say you're like, you could play on hard on Guitar Hero, would you be able to go directly into hard on Rock Band? Or
I did.
Is it about the same? A little bit easier?
It's a little bit easier at first, but some of the songs get tough, and the downloadable songs. A lot of the downloadable songs can be tough. I mean, I downloaded the Queens of the Stone Age, and some of the songs on there are really hard. They have Little Sister, and Little Sister's easy until you get to the guitar solo at the end, and it just...
Ridiculous.
Oh, it's ridiculous. It's like, my hands can't go that fast. I don't know what you want to do.
That's like, yeah, I just downloaded the... I actually could have put this in news, actually, but you can now download for free on Xbox Live the Halo theme for Guitar Hero 3.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, it's actually pretty difficult on the harder difficulty. I was like, that's probably pretty easy, but I was like, holy shit, it's actually pretty tough. And I found the same thing with Guitar Hero, where a lot of the downloadable tracks of the bonus tracks are significantly harder than the setlist tracks.
I found that.
So that's kind of cool, though. I think it's a good idea for them to do, because like I said, if they figure if people are that into it, that they're going to be downloading stuff, they're probably pretty decent at the game. They want a little bit more challenge, I guess. So.
Oh, definitely.
I still want to get Guitar Hero. I haven't gotten it yet, but I will end up probably getting the 360 version since I already have the guitars from Guitar Hero 2.
Mm-hmm.
But, and, oh, something else I wanted to mention real quick, since we were talking about the jam session at the end of the songs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if a lot of people know this, but on the guitars, you know, it's got the smaller frets at the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When you play a solo as a guitarist or a bassist, you can use those, and if you do, you don't need to strum.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so basically you take your strum hand and you can move it to those and just hit the buttons. And it's basically like you're plucking that on up that high. Like but that's kind of cool, and like when you that's basically how we get so high when we do the jam session at the end, cuz you just hit those buttons and you don't have to strum, so you're just going crazy on those buttons and you end up getting real high on the bonus stuff. So it's kind of cool.
We rocked out. So we're doing this drumming, every Friday, right?
What's
Friday, right?
Sorry, what?
Yeah, every Friday. Absolutely.
Cool. I'm sorry, Jeff. What were you going to say?
I'll see you guys in December. Besides the fact I hate you guys, though, I was just saying, drums, I've never drummed before really in my life, and I've always wanted to like kind of pick them up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm this, you know, stereotypical white guy with no rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
And I... can move my hands and my legs like kind of independently. And if is it kind of if I start on easy, would it eventually work up to say on hard or expert?
They do,
because I was watching videos and this looks so fun.
The bass pedal is gonna kick your ass at some point.
Absolutely.
If you're playing on easy and normal, it helps you along by keeping that bass beat on like a snare or anything else or one of the toms or something. So it's not real independent from the other notes. When you get up to hard and expert, then it's all over the place. I've got a drumming background. I used to play a lot, you know, a lot of bands when I was a kid, but this is like a completely different monster. It really is. Because there's songs that I know really well and I know that I can play in real life. And I'm trying to play these in rock band and it's missing stuff. You know, I'm playing in like normal or medium and I end up hitting notes that aren't there in the game. And I'm like, damn it, damn it, damn it. So I've got to separate myself from what I know to just following the flashing bobbles that are coming at my face on screen.
Yeah.
But
kind of let it train you.
Yeah. From what I've seen of experts so far, it is very, very similar to actually playing a drum set. So I think you could make the transition from a rock band into an actual instrument with a drum set.
We should post that video of the dude that did the Metallica song on Expert.
Oh, shit. Oh, God.
That was crazy. He was hitting it almost... No, it was just a random... it was posted on Pocket Otaku, and it was just some random guy that was put his video up on YouTube, and he had the game on Expert and was just wailing on this and hitting almost everything. I mean, it was crazy to see. I mean, and they say that if you get good enough at Expert on drums on Rock Band, you could probably go out and get a set of drums and, you know, figure it out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Easily.
That's I can't wait. How are the instruments actually? The quality pretty good. I've heard stories of guitar. Some people like the guitar. Some people
there's lots of horror stories out there right now. I've had good luck with my drums so far. Chris has had a problem with his bass pedal so far, and his guitar actually too. Mm. Haven't you?
No, my guitar is okay.
Oh, okay.
The bass pedal doesn't register. It's like I have to bend the wire towards the actual drum set.
It's weird.
And I actually have it right now electrical taped to the drum set. So I'm going to end up calling them and say, because there's a 60-day warranty on all the stuff, I'm going to call them and say, hey, look, you know, I need a new bass pedal.
My drum set's been pretty sturdy so far. I did have to make a slight modification because those suckers are loud, dude.
They're loud.
They're like, you know, regular drum practice pads. So there's a
really?
Pitch. Yep,
so you can just...
But
so when you're hitting them...
Mm-hmm.
No, sorry, go ahead.
What I did is I actually got some like shelf, some spongy shelf liner. Some people are using mouse pads, I guess, to put them over the top, and it still registers really well, and it muffles the sound a little bit. So handy little tip.
That would be kind of annoying.
It's extremely, especially with like a downstairs neighbor. I weep for that old lady. It's like, I'm sorry.
his drum set. He brought his drum set out yesterday. Just basically the pads. And it was significantly quieter with just what he had on there. So, I mean, I can imagine getting, like, some mouse pads or something like that, and it helping a lot.
Yeah, because the videos I've seen, it's all I can hear is, like, the tick-tick-tick-tick of, the, like, the drumming, and I couldn't hear the drums coming out of the actual speakers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that's a big problem. I mean, I noticed that, too, when I was playing drums, and it's, like, it's to the point where, I mean, it's so loud where I won't play drums, you know, in the morning if... You know, if someone's still sleeping, mm-hmm. you know, in the house, it's because it's just too loud.
Yeah, and it really sucks because I game, you know, after midnight usually for 2-3 hours,
mm-hmm.
and I can't do that with the drums.
No, it wouldn't be good. You'd be sleeping on the couch very often.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
or yeah.
But Jeff, I'm in the same boat you are as far as not having a drumming background and being a white boy with no rhythm. the easy and medium is. They do a pretty good job of trying to push the bass pedal at you slowly. On easy, you'll either hit the bass pedal with no accompaniment, but with another drum, or like one of the pads.
Okay, so it's not independent.
Yeah, they don't mix it up a whole lot, and most of you and all your bass hits are going to be on the beat.
Okay.
So but you do use it. A lot of people were. Thinking that because they had the demo set up at Best Buy and stuff, and demos at Best Buy didn't have the bass drum, and a lot of people thought that maybe Easy doesn't use it, but it does.
Okay, sounds good to me. Yeah.
The last thing I have to interject, Jason, I don't know if you have anything else you want to talk about.
I think so. I think I'm good.
The last thing I want to interject: if you have the 360 and the PS3,
yeah,
get the PS3 version.
Really?
There are two reasons why. The first reason is obvious, it's the wireless guitar. The second reason is because you can do the download sharing. And we tested it yesterday, and it works.
That is true.
Yeah, we had... I downloaded something, Jason downloaded something, and our buddy John downloaded something. And they all came over yesterday, inserted their accounts onto my PS3, and we were able to just go onto PSN, download the packs again. They installed right away. And when we pulled the game back up, everything was there. So,
is that something that they can block in the future, though?
I don't think there's a way for them to. Okay. Unless they say that it's something that they... That it, like, Rock Band content can only be downloaded once. Mm-hmm. Unless they do it like that.
Which does be a huge uproar if that happened.
Yeah, then I don't think there is a way.
Lots of strongly worded emails would be coming Sony's way.
Yeah. And because they can't, I mean, they can't tie the songs to a PSN account that's logged in. Because what if your connection goes out? What, you're not allowed to play your downloadable songs now?
Yeah, true.
So I mean, it would be tough for them to stop that.
I did have one last thing I wanted to interject. Guys, I'm sorry to announce that this is probably going to be my last podcast. I want to focus full time on my band, You, Me, and the Bass Pedal Make 3. And. So I'm sorry. I know I'm kind of cutting this short, but you know I've got priorities and I got to stick to them. So
it's been a great two episodes.
Yeah, you say that now until you're going to sell out to corporate America and you're going to sell all your music for bullshit, and then you're going to make crappy music and you're going to want to come crying back to us.
You guys can sponsor my band if you want. That's fine.
I mean, that's cool.
Jeff, all of that is going to happen in the span of 1 week. I just want you to know.
By Wednesday.
By Wednesday.
Man, okay. What exactly does it come with? Does the drums come with a little seat, or do you have to buy that separately?
Got
to
buy a seat.
You have to get separately.
It is the drum heads are detachable, so you could put it on like a coffee table or something. So you have a couple options, but no. Our buddy John actually went out and bought a drum throne. He got a couple boom mics. And
you got a boom mic stand.
Yeah, he's going all out.
It's awesome.
He's not screwing around.
He's going nuts. I mean, he came over yesterday and he it's like he brought his guitar because the system only comes or the box only comes with one guitar.
Boom.
So he brings his over and I'm like, how do we know which one is which? And he goes, well, mine's the clean one. I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, I polished mine. I'm like, you what? Are you kidding me?
Well, I'm going to go out there and say, like, I'm not a musician by any means, and you'll read people on the boards, whatever, Bloodstained Vendetta. He'll sit there and be like, why do you want to play a plastic guitar or plastic drums? It's, yeah. You know what? Because I can't fucking play real drums or a real guitar.
Exactly.
And I would say, what game are you playing now? You're playing some Mass Effect? Why don't you go out there and, search for some real aliens? It's because you can't, and I can't play an instrument, so... This is awesome for people like me who just want to rock it with a toy guitar and plastic drums because I can't play in real life.
even if you can play in real life, I mean, the game is just downright fun.
Yeah, it is.
I mean,
yeah.
I suggest it to anybody. Even if you remotely liked Guitar Hero, you're going to love Rock Band. Yeah. Seriously.
And single player, unless you're into the drums, or unless you're not into the drums, I don't suggest it. It's definitely more of a multiplayer game than anything. You know, you're going to have the most fun with people over at your house. So if you don't have any friends and you're antisocial, stick with Guitar Hero, I'd say. Unless you really want to rock out on the drums.
I get to see having so much fun with this. Like, especially you're going to have those nights where you're all going out and you all gather at someone's house. You know, we play some Rock Band for a bit and drink a few beer. And next thing you know,
hell yeah,
you end up not leaving.
Yeah. But... How long did we play last night, Jason? It was like, it had to be like 4 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
we had a good time.
It'll probably be even longer next week, I'm sure, because I had to cut out pretty early. So we got to have John singing Wanted Dead or Alive again, though.
Oh, awesome. My God. I was just going to mention that. It was hilarious.
They need to get Living on a Prayer on there.
Oh yes. God. Please, no.
That's awesome.
And then Alex. What did Alex sing?
Something very poorly a couple times.
Oh, God. Yeah, we had to save him a couple times. Mississippi Queen. Crystal just chimed in. He sang Mississippi Queen.
Oh, and Detroit Rock City.
Detroit Rock City,
yeah,
that's right.
Poor guy.
And we had to... I've never had to save a singer before. But Alex needed it, so...
Oh, man.
It's a blast, Jeff. You're going to love it.
I can't wait, yeah. Right. I'll probably pick it up, obviously in December. Yeah. Christmas present to me.
That's right. It's good stuff. All right, well, anything else about Rock Band?
No, we got to start wrapping up, dude.
Besides that, it's awesome. And
I do still hate you guys, though.
No, you don't.
I know I don't.
All right, well, we're going to move on to new releases, and this is probably the shortest list I have ever seen.
Big names, guys, big names.
Oh, right. God. This week, there is nothing coming out this week. And you'll be able to tell by the titles that I'm mentioning. For 360, History Channel, Battle for the Pacific.
Yes.
Are you serious?
No.
Yes. That's.
Hold on. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go pre-order. Hold on, guys. I can't believe they're making a game like that. That's. No. Anyway.
It's not even their first one. I think they've made others.
Yeah.
I called, by the way, and they said they're not taking pre-orders anymore.
Oh, I see.
Demand's too high.
I missed out. Shit.
But they did have a Wii.
For the DS, Geometry Wars Galaxies, cool. Which came out last week for the Wii. Mm. I guess it came out this week for DS. And then for the Wii, best racing game ever, Cruisin'.
Yes. Fatal Inertia. Cruisin'.
Okay, sorry. Second best racing game ever. Cruisin'. Straight up with graphics from the N64.
Wow.
Those are some great graphics.
Oh.
And, in all honesty, this is the best title coming out this week. Puzzle Quest for the Wii.
Cool.
Yep.
That's actually everywhere. Pretty good.
It is. Literally. Puzzle Quest is on everything except for PS3.
Yeah.
yeah, it's true. I'm sure it'll be there soon.
Yeah.
Give it a few months.
So we've got lots of time to play some Rock Band.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I'm all right with that.
Yeah.
Good deal. All right. Alrighty. What do we got next?
Emails. Did anyone actually write us at all?
We got a couple emails.
Get out.
Yep, and we got a nice question of the week, so we've actually got some substance here on this show, believe it or not. Anyway.
See, I told you people listened. You guys didn't believe
me. We really only have time for like one email, so I'm gonna fire that off real quick. This comes from a dude named Nogric. Real name's Greg. He's over in, where is he from? St. Louis. That area. Anyway.
St. Louis.
He writes in to say, "Hey guys, great job on the show as a whole, although the episode was way too long. I really like the layout of the show, and especially like the top 10 games list and new releases given during the show. I do have a couple of criticisms. First is that I felt you hammered down on Microsoft a little too much. Did you really?
That's so funny. I'm really saying that's funny because I have a lot of people in the forums have probably argued that I'm probably, if anything, pro-Microsoft.
Yeah, me too. Anyway.
That's fine, that's fine.
Well, we're going to try and distribute the hammering.
Yeah, evenly.
We're very
yeah,
we're
bash everything evenly.
Like that we're only bashing one particular thing. It's like today we bashed I kind of bashed Sony.
He expands to say, I'm not sure if you guys want to stay a sort of niche type show, but if you want to grow as a podcast, I think the bashing needs to be cut down a bit. Duly noted. All right. I believe all the hardcore gamers out there already know about the problems with each system and don't need to be reminded about how each system has faults. Plus, that might cut down on fanboy hate mail you guys get. Second,
he's gonna have gonna love that, dear Sony.
Yeah. Second, I know the show ran long this time, but trying to stick to your goal of an hour is really important. Well, we blew that up, didn't we?
Yeah, I was gonna say we apologize yet again.
I think you guys spent a little too much time talking about Uncharted, but the time you spent on other games like Super Mario Galaxy and Call of Duty was sufficient. As far as your new releases are concerned, I think you guys intended to do releases by system, but somehow it got confused as to what was coming out and which system in the middle, but righted itself in the end.
That's correct. I was doing it by date, and that is my fault. I tried to fix that this week with all four releases that we had.
Cool.
Yeah.
I think this might be remedied by you guys taking some time after the list to talk about a few games on it that you're excited about. And this is more of a suggestion, but I think three people on the show is enough. Having any more on a regular basis might just be too much. I think having a guest come in every once in a while is good, but three is good enough for what you guys are wanting to do. That's all I got for that. So there you go, guys. Keep up the good work, and
thanks,
I look forward
Greg.
To the next podcast. Thanks, Nogs.
Thanks, Nogs.
Nogs.
Yep, thanks, man.
Nogs also...
Appreciate it.
Well, let's talk about more feedback, too, just real quick. We've gotten a bunch of feedback from people that either love the length or hate the length or... wants to do more of this or that. You guys have any thoughts
like
on
us, hate us?
Yeah.
He brings up some good issues. I mean, yeah, length is definitely a problem.
We'll work on that.
A problem, but I mean, it's kind of like a thing. Some people like to, if they have a couple hours, just throw something on, listen to it, put it in the background.
I mean, if we didn't have Jeff, we'd have like a 10-minute show, so.
Yeah, someone actually criticized her, like, I need to kind of slow down and speak slower. I'm like, if I spoke slower, last week's podcast would be 5 hours.
No, it's cool. I definitely appreciate Jeff's input. I'm okay with the length, I guess. I would love to keep it under an hour, but you know, at the end of the day, this is just a show that is just we just sit down and we chit chat about shit. We're not really reviewing stuff. We're not giving scores or anything like that. We'll maybe give a thumbs up, thumbs down, rent or buy. But
rent or buy or avoid. That's pretty much what all you're going to get.
This is just what we do. We just kind of sit around. We bullshit about games. We want you guys to offer feedback too. We want you guys to bullshit with us. So we
will bash it every once in a while if it's deserving of, right? As long as we keep it in context.
Absolutely.
I mean, none of us are going to go out there and bash something for no reason. If it's within something we're talking about and it deserves it, then we will. We will say what we got to say.
And that's why I love
also
talking to these guys
don't
too.
Take, and also don't take like small criticisms about games as bashing, like me talking about the tearing in Uncharted. That's definitely not me bashing the game. That's me.
Yeah, exactly.
It does have this little fault, but the game is still freaking fantastic, so you need to go buy it.
Yep, same with Mass Effect. Got a lot of visual problems and stuff, but it's fucking awesome.
Cool. All right, so we encourage you guys
We
encourage you guys to send emails, send feedback, any questions that you guys have, especially with the question of the week that I'm about to ask. Nogric also sent this in. Really good one. Very cool. What he asks is, for the question of the week, I would like to know what dead or dying franchises you would like to see reemerged. For me, I'd like to see Mutant League Sports. Awesome. Make a comeback as well as some of the other side-scroller beat-em-ups like Battletoads or Double Dragon. So we pose a question to you guys. If you guys want to answer on that, which dead or dying franchises you'd love to see reemerged, send us an email. Email at interactivedistractions.com. And more than likely, we'll read it on the show. We'll talk about it a bit.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Cool.
And we'll also give our answer to the question, too, next week. So
that
we'll be thinking of similar answers, similar things.
Yeah, I have to think about this one for a while. This is a really good question.
It's funny, actually. That was the first thing I thought of was what Greg said was the Mutant League Sports. I'm like, God, I would love to see Mutant League football and hockey again.
It's been forever.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool. Mm-hmm.
That's not my choice, though. Anyway.
All right. Well, that's how we... Thanks a lot, Greg, again. You're the first first person to write in, and there you go. That's our first ever email.
Thanks, bud.
That's right. We hope to get more, so please do email us at email@interactivedistractions.com. I think that's all we got this week, guys. What do you think?
I think we did pretty good.
I'm ready to go out.
We didn't hit the two-hour mark this time. I don't know.
I'm sure I could pad
it. If you really
it.
Want us to, I'm sure we can.
Yeah. All right, well, you guys have a good week. And keep playing games. We're going to be playing our games, and we're going to be talking about them next week again. So hope you enjoyed the podcast. Send us your feedback. Send us emails. And we hope to see you next week.
Cool.
All right.
All right.
Take it easy, guys.
Thanks, guys.